Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
It's time for us to get into our Ask a Pastor segment. May I remind you that each and every time we get into our Ask a Pastor segment, this is your segment. My questions are merely there to make sure your question has been answered. And that's why we encourage you to please send those questions that baffle you, that boggle you, that disturb, that confuse and confound the mind, so that we can have the people who have the answers, pastors, join us and give us some perspective. And today is no different. My producer has found you a pastor who is waiting to answer your question. And today we have our question for today. And our pastor for the week is Pastor Foster Skinner Chwanda. Mbonisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. The honor and the blessing is all mine, I can tell you now. A question for today, Mfundisi, is how do you feel about the church's funding mission trips in lieu of local outreach?
I don't feel well with that. I find it a little bit out of place. Local churches should be focused on local outreach.
Right.
Because the mission trip can be very expensive. They need global collaboration of coalitions of churches, or maybe structural levels that are global in missional focus.
Right.
But local churches should focus on local outreach and fund that one. So I would say that I feel that churches funding mission trips is an unnecessary cost. I might also look at it as a misplaced effort. It's better that churches should focus on missions that are local, on work that is local. They can focus on visiting the communities, on evangelizing around the communities, or looking at those who are needy among the communities. That would be much better than going far away or funding far away missions, which would be very costly to the churches, and it's literally not necessary at all.
What is the reason for the church to fund missions far away?
Yeah, you see, when you read Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after right. the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world."
Right.
So on the global scene, there is a need. There is a need for continuity of history, the history of missionaries
right.
who went out to spread this message. It is still there because there are pockets of unentered areas, or even those areas that were entered. There are some conflicts that have taken place, some dilution of the gospel. You may want to re-impact those mission fields
right.
or go to the unentered areas. That's quite well and good, but that should be structured in such a way that there are world missions offerings, world mission offerings, like in the church I belong to, we have world mission offerings every week. So why should the local church also try to duplicate the same effort which is done at global level?
So the question today is really not refusing and not distinguish between the local church and the global church. It simply says, how do you feel about churches funding mission trips?
Churches funding mission trips.
Yes.
The question I would have, are the mission trips going to be done by the local churches? Are the local churches traveling? Or are the local churches funding other travelers, not within from their own church? But even if they are traveling themselves, traveling away from their country to another country for a mission outside there, that expense, I find it very exorbitant and not necessary, because they have a lot of work to do on the local field. Why are they rushing to the global field?
So if
it's a necessary cost, that one.
Right,
it's too expensive.
So I'll give you an example. I want us to practicalize this for the person who's listening right now. My membership is with Kelvin on Ethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's in Sandton, Johannesburg in South Africa. That's where my local membership is. I'm an ordained member of that local church. I served my time as a sitting elder, and I handed over to other elders who are also... So when I have done my local church duties of being elder, when the church decides they want to send me to Uganda, for example, I was sent to Uganda to go and preach in Uganda, and I was sent also to Zambia. I was sent to Zimbabwe, and so forth and so forth. Is the pastor saying it is wrong for the churches to release me as a former elder to go and minister elsewhere while other elders are serving at my local church and taking care of the local church there? Does it mean I'm supposed to sit there and warm benches instead of being sent where there are no ministers?
Mission is focused outside the church, not inside the church.
Right.
So I'm looking at the area around your church.
Right.
What is the ratio of your church membership to the population of your city?
Yes.
To the population of your local territory? What is the statistic?
Right.
Don't you have a lot of people that need to be preached to, or that need to be assisted, or that need to be served,
right,
that need to be ministered to? So we are looking at that kind of scenario where you are saying, why are you leaving your own local position and going to Tanzania or Zambia? What
right.
do you do in Zambia?
Right, right.
Somebody asked me, I was in Botswana. He said, what are you doing here?
He
said, I'm doing this. He said, we don't need your sermons here. Go back home. I said, my friend.
Okay, so my local church is one of the many Seventh-day Adventist churches in Sandton. Sandton has got about 222,000 people. The approximate population of Sandton, the area that we are in, has 222,415 to be exact. Now, in Sandton, there are five Seventh-day Adventist churches. There is, to my recollection, there's Rosebank, there's Sandton, Central, there's Amazing Grace, there is, I forgot the other one, and then there's us, Kelvin. Five Seventh-day Adventist churches that are located in an area that has a population of 222,415. The membership that we have at my local church, we have a little over 400 members, I think 416 members, give or take. That's just my local church.
Okay.
Now, my local church is one of the small ones, because Sandton in Lone Hill, I think they have about 1,000. I don't know. I've never seen their books, but they have a bigger congregation than ours. And then there is Rosebank that has also a membership of about 1,000. They have a bigger congregation than us. Amazing Grace and the other one that I've forgotten now, they have a membership of just about the same as us. So if we are to put them together, we have an average total of give or take 4,000 members in an area that has 222,000. So my question is, if we were to divide that by the number of people that are in there, in the local area that we are in, some are already Christians. They are not Seventh-day Adventists, but they have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ from other denominations, which drastically reduces the number of people in Sandton. And then others, particularly where we are located, is a Jewish-populated area. So they have already rejected Christianity by virtue of them being Jews. They know of this Jewish boy named Yeshua ben Joseph, but they don't believe he's a Messiah. So they know the gospel, they've just rejected it. Our neighbors there, we have Muslims. There's a Muslim mosque there.
Okay.
They know Jesus and they believe in Jesus. They call him Isa, but they don't believe he's the Messiah. Okay. They believe he is one of the prophets who is going to be sent by Allah at the end. Allah is going to send the prophet Isa to come back and fetch everyone. So that's the demographics of who we live amongst there. The question again is, Would it be wrong for these churches to send me out? One person now goes to go and minister outside there and leave the rest of the close to 4,000 ministers to minister in this area.
From my side, your churches, the Sanditon churches, have a nearby challenge.
Yes.
A nearby gospel challenge. And that challenge needs financing. All the communities you have talked about, the Jewish community, the Muslim community, and those non-SDA communities, including other SDA people who are inside there, are unchurched as far as I'm concerned. They need to be reached with the gospel in a certain way. You need to befriend them. Be there. They should be your friends. You need to go to their churches and visit their churches and be their friends in their churches so that they can also in turn visit your churches. So you have a lot of work to do there because you are only 4,000, the 200 and something thousand population is your challenge there. You need to give all those the opportunity, not just to hear the message, but to touch it through relationships with you. Why are you going to Kenya? Why are you going to South Africa? Why are you wasting money on you? Why should the church waste money on you to send you anywhere else? It's not necessary. It's an unnecessary effort from my side.
So the gospel mission, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that to make them Adventists or disciples of Jesus?
You see, to make people disciples of Jesus in an a pluralistic environment,
yes,
is also a challenge.
Right.
It's also a challenge. Because what do you mean? What do you mean by a disciple?
Yes.
You can't disciple a person and then take him to a different church than your own church. So a disciple needs to be in your church because that's the fold that you believe has the right message.
The objective, Mfundisi, I need you to help me understand here. The objective was to teach them about Jesus, not necessarily about a denomination. So when I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1992.
I'm answering there.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
I'm answering there that the teaching Jesus is interdenominational, is global, is heavenly.
Right, right.
But then in what context? In what context? Every Christian denomination on earth is creating a context for gospel propagation.
Right.
Every Christian denomination is creating a context for gospel propagation. And so the gospel's validity is also attached to what the people believe in that system.
Right.
Therefore, I would like to say that every church must examine themselves to see whether they are in the faith. Because you see, you can't say every denomination is correct, is right.
Right.
We are doing the right thing. We are teaching the right thing until you are challenged. So
we must
challenge each other and one another and ourselves whether we believe the right things.
Now, I'm okay with that, Mfundisi. What I was pointing at is when I joined the church, in 1992, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I was baptized 5 years down the line in 1997. Now, when I was introduced by Pastor Rodman Katane to this church through his crusade, he preached Jesus. He didn't preach the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He preached Jesus and the will of Jesus and the ways of Jesus, which include the Old and the New Testament. Yes. And he gave me history, he gave me the future, and he gave me the present, as the Bible teaches. It is me and my family that decided the best teachers of this Jesus, it's this church. And we joined this church because this church teaches me best about Jesus and his ways.
Yes.
So we did not fall in love with Adventism. We fell in love with Jesus as taught by this church. And we were introduced to this Jesus of this church by Pastor Rodman Katan. So my point there is, is that not what Jesus was sending his disciples to do? That you go and teach them, and people must come and follow the Jesus of Peter, of Barnabas, of James, and so forth.
Yes.
And there, at the time when Jesus was sending them, there was no Seventh-day Adventist church. There was no Baptist church. There was no Methodist church. It was the way of Jesus. And they were teaching people the way of Jesus. There was no membership at the time. Isn't it, Vundis?
I like that.
Yes.
I like that. It was the way of Jesus.
Yes.
But now, what do you do? What do you do when what Jesus didn't leave exists? Because Jesus never left a denomination or Christianity.
Absolutely.
He never left that one.
Yes.
It's a strange thing altogether. Denominational Christianity. That's a strange thing altogether.
Absolutely.
Paul wouldn't understand it. Peter wouldn't understand it, and so on. But now, what do you do in that context? What do?
You go and teach people who don't know about Jesus.
You look for the best, for the closest to Jesus. What is closest to Jesus?
That
is closest to Jesus.
Let me remind you, Mfundisi.
Because you know the reason why I'm asking this.
Yes,
Mfundisi. If you are leaving people that are in Sanditon,
yes,
and you are saying all the people in Sanditon are Christians.
Yes.
If they are not Christians, they are Jews. If they are not Jews, they are Muslims.
Yes.
So I don't need to give them anything extra. I am going to Zambia.
Yes.
I am going to South Africa. Then you are looking for funding, and then Sanditon Church should fund you because you are going to Zambia and Kenya to preach. What are you going to preach there?
Yeah.
That's different from what the Kenyans and the Zambians are preaching. It's an unnecessary funding effort. You better concentrate in your area where you are.
Okay, so here's
brighten the corner where you are.
So here's the thing, Mfundisi. And this is now my last question now, and then I'll let you go. We saw the Apostolic Church funding Paul, funding his Silas friend, Silvanus, Barnabas, all these guys who were sent to the different places. Were they wrong to fund Paul in his mission to the far-flung areas?
They were not wrong.
Was it a waste of money?
They were doing what the Holy Spirit sent them. And you should know that as we are talking, you and me, as we are talking now,
right,
there are mission organizations that are focused on mission. And they are sending people all over the world. Even within your church, the Adventist church,
yes,
there is a lot of global missions that is taking place right there.
Yes.
So what we are trying to say is that the local church funding global projects should be done in the structured way rather than doing it by saying Sanditon is sending this gentleman to Kenya.
Right.
I'm saying, no, don't do that.
Yes.
There is already an effort in funding global missions. There's already an effort at a certain level. Global missions are being funded on a weekly basis, of course. The mission offerings are all for that.
Right.
So what we are saying is let Sanditon Church focus on local evangelism, on local outreach.
Yes.
Look at your own environment. You know, I once came to South Africa.
Yes.
And we were preaching in different places. Do you know what happened?
Yes.
One of the division leaders was preaching. He got zero convert, and
yes,
I think I got one or two converts. You see, that speaks a lot. It means that public evangelism is almost useless in your cities.
Yes.
There is need for some other strategizing to reach people. Friendship evangelism, something like that. So we are saying, why not concentrate on funding projects that are within your territory, within your space, rather than sending missionaries away, which is too expensive for nothing?
So the question that we were trying to get answered, Mfundisi, and I suspect perhaps what needed to be clarified is the in lieu part. It says, how do you feel about churches funding mission trips instead of local church? Local outreach.
My answer.
Not local church.
My answer, I feel you'd see, unnecessary, misplaced, and even a waste of resources.
So what was done to Paul was unnecessary, misplaced, and a waste of resources.
that's not what I'm saying, but you understand what I'm saying.
That's what I'm trying to present to you, Mfundisi, that what this question is trying to ask is that local churches were funding Paul. The funding that was used to fund Paul and Silvanus and Saul and Silas and so forth, it was coming from local churches.
Right.
And they were funding him not to preach in their local area, but to preach out there.
Right.
Were they wrong? Were local churches wrong to fund Paul to go and preach out there and not in their own areas?
They were not wrong. But I am saying today, if you take the structure of your own organization, my own organization, we give mission offerings on a weekly basis.
Mm.
And there is global missions taking place all over the world as we talk now from our own environment.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, why not let the local churches focus on their local outreach?
Okay. No, No, I hear you. I take that. And I'm hoping the person who asked the question heard you and accepts it. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day further. We have more questions for the rest of the week. I'm looking forward to your answers for those questions, Mfundisi.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.